Okay, so good morning, everybody. This is Jonathan Perk from Neurology Department in SUNY Downstate, and with me is Dr. Julie DeBecker, fourth-year resident, who is also our chief resident here at SUNY Downstate Neurology Department. And we're going to talk today about PML. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
So let's start off with you telling us what is actually PML.
So PML is currently defined as a rare subacute demyelinating disease caused by an opportunistic polyomavirus, the JC virus, and it occurs in patients with defective cell-mediated immunity.
And so how can you tell us about a little bit about the historical content of how it was first recognized, and how did we reach where we are today?
Yes, the history is actually quite interesting. So initially, it was described in people with leukemia and lymphoma, and it was described first in the journal Brain by pathologists working at Harvard Medical School in 1958. They described it by histopathology, so there was a classic triad, which was demyelination, bizarre astrocytes, and nuclear inclusions in the oligodendrocytes. Then in 1971, they were able to identify the JC virus, and that was through the help of electron microscopy. And they had identified it in the first patient, which was John Cunningham, but that's actually not that was actually not his name. His initials were JC, and then they just chose that name randomly. Then in the 1980s, we started to see a lot of PML cases in the HIV/AIDS population, which slowed down a little bit around 95, 96 when HART was introduced. In 1989, the process of amplifying the JC virus DNA in the CSF was improved, so that helped a lot to actually pick up a lot more JC virus through that way as opposed to brain biopsy. And then in 2005, we started seeing the natalizumab-associated PML cases.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So we'll talk about it later that there's maybe less of a need of brain biopsies these days.
Yes.
So who gets PML?
So PML is most of the time, with rare exceptions, in people with defective cell-mediated immunity, such as people who have lymphoma, leukemia, organ transplants, who are on immunosuppressive therapy, HIV/AIDS population, mostly not on HART, and also people who are on immune-modulating medications for multiple sclerosis or other things such as rheumatoid arthritis. However, there is the group that don't see it that often, but it still occurs. We don't really know what type of, we don't know or understand exactly why. We're seeing it in elderly people, people with chronic kidney disease, chronic liver disease, and just a transient lymphopenia.
So when would you actually suspect that a patient has a PML?
So I think the best answer to that is to look at the clinical picture. So if it's in the context of someone with HIV/AIDS or someone on some sort of immunosuppressive therapy, those are the people that you would suspect it in first based on the clinical presentation. Most of the time we see behavioral and cognitive changes, but you also may see motor, sensory, visual field deficits, and even sometimes seizures. This is a very indolent course, though, so it's a lot of times multifocal deficits, and it's more indolent than in multiple sclerosis.
So probably one of the first modalities that we will use in a patient that would have those clinical features is to try to image him with probably MRI. So what would be the classic findings on an MRI scan of a patient with PML?
Yes, so MRI is most sensitive, and FLAIR is the best sequence to start with. So you'll see hyperintense focal lesions, usually in HIV-associated, you typically see those in the frontal lobes or frontal parietal area, but it can be anywhere, and they're usually more multifocal, and they tend to stay to the white matter. In the natalizumab-associated PML cases, we see it most often in only the frontal lobes, and usually it's a a unifocal. Also, there are cases where the gray matter is involved, and we tend to see enhancement as well. So that's just talking about flare, but also going on to T2, you will see hyperintensities in the same area, and T1 is typically isointense. And then with enhancement, usually only in the natalizumab-associated cases, but in HIV, about 10 to 15% will enhance.
So typically, we would think of lesions as non-enhancing in PML?
Yes, that's right. And usually no mass effect.
So what would be the differential diagnosis of lesions that would appear in with those features on the MRI?
So again, that would depend on the person's past medical history. So the person has HIV/AIDS, then you want to consider something such as toxo. I would also consider CNS lymphomas or HIV encephalopathy. And those with natalizumab-associated PML, multiple sclerosis, of course, is an acute flare is basically the biggest one that you have to decipher whether or not it's just another flare, and that can be difficult. But then again, also, that it will enhance if it's an acute flare. And then there's ADEM and also tumefactive MS lesions. They may appear similar.
So I guess the clinical connotation is very important, at least in some of the examples that you gave, but in others it may be difficult. So what are some of the labs that we can use to help us to truly diagnose PML in our patient?
Okay, well, starting just before diagnosis, I want to mention surveillance. So people who are on natalizumab or other immunosuppressants, we can monitor them and just see if they have developed antibodies to the JC virus in the serum. So that's what we use the serum testing for. However, to actually diagnose, you have to get JC virus by PCR in the CSF. So, but in general, looking at the CSF, you might, before that JC virus comes back, you may be able to see that whether or not it actually fits the typical picture, which is usually less than 20 white blood cells, protein is typically around 65, and glucose is usually normal.
And so the gold standard of testing remains a biopsy?
Yes, it's still considered the gold standard. However, we don't actually need to do that now. So diagnosis is made on the grounds of imaging, the clinical presentation, and the JC virus in the CSF. And that would be the actual DNA, not the antibodies.
Okay, so let's say we saw a patient with the appropriate clinical features, appropriate imaging, and the labs all supporting PML diagnosis. What do we do next? How do we treat those patients?
Okay, so treatment. So I'll talk about natalizumab-associated PML and HIV-associated PML again. So in the natalizumab-associated PML cases, the first thing that we do is we'll plasmapheresis the person, and 5 sessions of that should suffice. If iris occurs, or if we want to basically take a preemptive strike against iris, we would start solumetrol, and that would be 1 gram IVPP for 5 days. In the HIV-associated cases, if the person's not already on HART, the best thing to do is, and pretty much only thing to do, is to start HART immediately, and then hope that iris doesn't set in too harshly. If it does, then solumetrol, same thing, 1 gram IVPD per day for 5 days.
So what will be the general prognosis these days for treatment?
So in general, I don't have any numbers. I actually did try to look for this, but I know in the natalizumab-associated cases, prognosis is much better than the HIV-associated cases. I don't know exactly why, though.
Okay, great. So so how about, could you summarize for us the main points and take-home messages that we should all put in our toolbox?
Yes, definitely. So just as a quick recap, PML is a rare subacute demyelinating disease caused by the JC virus, usually seen in people with defective cell-mediated immunity. And the diagnosis is by clinical presentation, MRI, and JC virus established in the CSF. Clinically, it's a very progressive, indolent type of a course, slower than an MS. And basically, there on the MRI, you want to look for flare and T2 hyperintensities, and then T1 will be isointense. Usually not enhancing, but sometimes they do. And also in treatment, the most important thing in the HIV-associated group is to just start heart immediately and then look out for iris. And then in the natalizumab-associated PML cases, plasmapheresis, and then IV solumetrol to prevent iris.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much, Julie. Our chief resident here in the Downstate Neurology Department. And this is Jonathan Perk. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. I think I screwed up.